Father God, we thank you that your word is life transforming. And we ask you please to change us, to show us the power of your word today. We give you free rein in our hearts to speak a word of prophecy over us. We give you free rein in our minds, God, to change the way we think. We give you free rein in our lives as a whole, God, whether it be financially or physically, that we would be surrendered completely to you, that we would know what is the breadth and the width and the depth of your love, that we might live in it all our days. Baptize us now in your word, in Christ's name, amen. Before I read the scripture that we're going to study tonight, I want to tell you that today's scripture, not only does it contain some of the most famous verses in all the Bible, but it is so important to know what it is that we are studying as a whole. Let me put it this way. The picture that's painted today of not only a true event that happened, but how this true event is also a picture of almost a parable, a living parable. Let me explain it to you this way. Before we read, let me tell you the story of human beings that come into the church. People are broken. Now, when I say broken, I don't mean broken like, wow, they've been hurt. I mean, they're broken. Your husband, your wife, your child, you. You were raised in such a way as you come from a divorce. You come from a divorced family. You were abused as a child. You were taken advantage of as an adult. You were in a situation, a relationship so bad. You come from a family that has no idea how to communicate. You want to say things, but you can't, and you've lost hope. You think things should work out a certain way. Your personality is as such, is that you're logical. And you don't know why things don't work out the way they should. Or you're a justice person. And your favorite three words are, that's not fair. Oh, that one struck home, did it? Or you come from a family that has more of a culture than it did decency. This is my culture. This is the way we act. This is the way we behave. Hey, we're Italian. Hey, we're Hispanic. Hey, we're whatever. And you've got that false idea that coming to church immediately heals all that. Me and my wife experienced that misfortune to thinking, well, once we got saved, everything should be fine from then on, right? Well, now we're saved. No. Why? We're broken. We're broken people. Well, if you know the truth is supposed to... Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that you're broken. It just sets you free from that brokenness. You might not even understand. Some of you guys might not even understand what I'm saying. Well, I've had some conversations with people lately, and they've told me about their difficulties in marriage, their difficulties with their kids, their difficulties with their bosses, their difficulties with their friends. And the only thing I could say is, you're dealing with a broken person. What does that mean? I don't understand. They're broken. They're not going to react the way you think they should, the way they're supposed to, the way maybe normal people would. But this is church. And everybody here is perfect. That's why nobody comes here. Let's read the scripture now and see why I said that. As the scripture now bears witness to the brokenness that stays before us, and how although we are set free from it, we still have to live in it. It'll explain. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now, if you would please give me your attention just for some Bible geek stuff going on here. There are seven times when Peter and John appear together in Scripture. Peter and John. The number seven being a cohesive number in Scripture. Baby's bag. We have to understand that all through Scripture, these little hints are given to us that say, dig here, look here, show me more. And that's where sometimes we have to plant a flag, come back to it. For instance, Peter and John, an unlikely duo, occurs seven times in the book of Acts together. And if we look at all those seven times that Peter and John appeared, Peter preaches a message, and every message that Peter preaches never ends without the resurrection. Let me reiterate that. Every message that Peter preaches in the Scripture never ends without the resurrection. That is a call to all of those who would live this life. Everything ends with the resurrection. Every message is preached with the resurrection. Back to our Scripture. Verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple. There was a man who was lame from his mother's womb. Now, it's very interesting. Does anybody know who Hippocrates was? He wrote the Hippocratic Oath that doctors take. Well, there is there's all his writings that he wrote, and most of them are used in very in medical terms, terminology, medical books. The man that wrote this book we're reading now is Luke. Luke was a doctor. He actually uses medical terms more than all of the writings of hypocrisy. Hippocrates. I said it right the first time. And that's extremely important given today's scripture. Just keep that in the back of your knower somewhere. This guy is lame, means he's crippled, and they lay him at the gate every day, and he sits there and he begs. And that's all he does. That's his life. He shows up, they carry him, they put him down there, and he begs. Verse 3, who, this man speaking of, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. So just visualize this in your head. These men are filled with the Holy Spirit because they just had this amazing prayer meeting. You guys remember chapter 1. Chapter 2, they went out. He preached the first message in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. And the next day, what do they do with this power? But they go to the temple. They go to what we would consider a church. And on their way there, there's a man laying there. I notice he's not going inside. He's just sitting out there. And he doesn't look. He just don't look at people. Just... Peter and John say, Peter says to him, look at me. Look at me. Verse 5 again, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, there's a few healings in Scripture that are intended to blow our minds. They're intended for us to say, why doesn't that happen today? And the reason is, number one, the apostles were absolutely positively given something in the way of healing, in the way of power that is not given out today. There's no question about that. That doesn't mean that God isn't giving out his healing power still, but what he gave to the apostles is very different. But what's important here to recognize is this: the man was not able to have faith yet. So without having faith, he was healed. Do you understand this? This is really super important, because some churches will tell you that it is your faith that makes you well. And if you don't have faith, you will not be made well. And if you don't have money, it's because you don't have faith. You're not standing on the promises of God. Watch where we go. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That is another medical term there in verse 7 that literally means re-socketed, which his ankles and his feet were out of socket. He was born out of socket, and now they were all of a sudden. Now, I don't know if this happened. I sat and meditated on this for a really long time, wondering, when God does a healing like that, is it like the movies where it just goes? Have you ever seen Guardians of the Galaxy with that one chick that can, like, she gets blown up, but then she goes back into place? Or did it, like, just happen? All of a sudden, just, there it goes. 1 second it was, 1 second it wasn't. I don't know. Here's what I do know. When somebody is crippled, if you know anybody that's ever broken their back and or they've had a severed spine and they've been in a wheelchair for any length of time, they talk about the healing that could potentially take place. And they want to use certain methods of research, whether it be they do bone marrow therapies, they do all these different things that fill people like that with a false hope. Reason being that's a false hope is, if you have been crippled for more than a year, you have an atrophy in your muscle and bone skeletal structure that cannot be fixed. This man was crippled from the birth of his mother. There was virtually no muscle tone that could have ever formed in his legs. Do you follow this? This healing was not just my bones are back in place. This healing was a complete healing of everything that was not there. It didn't exist. It's not just, well, he straightened out his arm or his leg got better. Do you follow what I'm saying yet? And what I'm trying to do is, remember the first thing we started with the story? I want you to see this. This man is coming to church. This man is now about to get up and he's going to start going to temple. But he still has, even though he can walk, all of the emotional trauma, all of the mental defects of somebody who's begged his whole life, somebody who's been broken his whole life. It takes a long time. Sometimes people don't get better from that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this hitting home? If you're wondering why people behave in a certain manner, why your wife says this, why your husband does this, they're broken. They were lame from their mother's womb. And although they were made whole, they've not been fixed. Let me repeat that. Although they've been made whole, they've not been fixed. Why does she do that? She's broken. What's your response to her brokenness? Ask yourself that question. What's your response to his brokenness? Is it more frustration? Is it anger? Is it separation? Is it divorce? I mean, what's your response to it? Let me ask you a question. So how's that working for you? You I gotta let that roll over you for a minute, guys. I gotta let this just roll over you. There are certain things we talked about on Wednesday night. If you hear Wednesday night, certain things you can't put up with. I mean, there's abuse, there's cheating, there's complete insubordination for anything that God has given. That stuff you have to deal with, but the brokenness of a human being. I don't want to tell you my testimony. I want you to tell yourself your own testimony. Because the recognition of your own brokenness is super important too. I don't know who this is for, but I would feel like the Holy Spirit would lead me to say this. For years and years, I told my wife how I grew up. And my mother would tell my wife, don't listen to him, that's ridiculous, and that didn't happen, never, never. So there was like a half a, for a long time, I don't want to say it like she thought I was lying to her, but for a long time she thought I was lying to her. And then as the fullness of time would reveal that the things that I told her about my family were true. And then it worked the other way too. She told me some things, and because of my brokenness, I was so disinterested in her brokenness. You don't know. You look at your mother and father. You don't know what you don't know what I've been through. So I allowed my brokenness to be my self-pity, to feel sorry for myself. Instead of just picking up my cross and following, I allowed my own You guys, sometimes it bothers you. I know it. I see it in your eyes when I say to you, little guys, you guys, if you're under 20 here, and I say, listen, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Suck it up. Nobody cares. You got a cold. Nobody cares. You're flat tired. No, nobody cares. You give me a 22 or 23-year-old who's just gone out there into the world and just had to get a job. You know what you find out? Nobody cares. You leave your house for the first time after about a year. You know what you find out? You want to go back. Unfortunately, there's no going back. And then you regret not taking advantage and just enjoying what you had. You spent so much time complaining about what you did, what you thought you didn't have. Now it's gone. Now you wish you had it back. And I also know some of you guys that are here right now that are going through some horrendous stuff. Even now, as I'm saying this. Your brokenness is being acted out before you. Mom's doing this, dad's doing that, uncle's doing this, husband's doing that, father's doing this. Right now, your brokenness is happening. And you said many times, where is God? Why would God allow this to happen? If God is so real and God loves me so much, why is God allowing this to happen? Brokenness. This man was crippled from his mother's womb. And you want to hear the funniest one? This is my favorite one. Some of you guys, there ain't no brokenness at all. And your own brokenness is self-afflicted. You feel guilty for not being broken. So you allow angst to build up in your heart. You had a great mom and dad. You raised perfect. And yet, you're mad. You feel sorry. Like, why don't you just enjoy the ride? We spend our lives trying to give our kids something a little better than what we had. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't grow up tough. So now you want to make a mess of your life just so you can say you crawled out of a hole? My daughter was 13 years old. She was telling her testimony at church. And she says to me and my wife, I wish I had a cool testimony like you and mom. And we said, no, 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 no. Best testimony in the world. God saved at 3, walked with the Lord my whole life, never turned to the right nor the left. Your biggest struggle was figuring out that your sin wasn't so bad. We were driving in the car one time. It was me and my wife. I forget who else was there, but my son was in the back seat. He was about 6 years old. And me and my wife were having a conversation about my life verse. My life verse is the verse of a woman, which is kind of freaky because I'm really not that type of guy. It's to whom much is forgiven, loves the same. Why do I love God so much? Why? Because I know what I was forgiven. And as me and my wife are talking, our son, at the time, like I said, he was 5 or 6, he makes a noise in the back. Psh. Like, what's that? He goes, yeah, sin, I know. Oof. Like, Josiah, what are you talking about? Man, God's forgiven me of so much sin. I was like, son, you threw a few phones in the toilet bowl. You dumped a few electronics in the bathtub. It's okay. Oh, God's forgiven me so much. Oof. But a crazy thing happens, especially to you young guys. Especially to you guys that grow up in families where they just love you. You start to believe that you haven't really done anything that bad. Not realizing that you are as guilty as a murderer of crimes against God. So egregious, so horrible. And you think because your sin wasn't that bad, that you must be okay. And why should you have to love God that much? You've never done anything that wrong. And how I wanted to so many times remind my children, no, you're sinners. And it's your sin that put Christ on the cross. But how do you tell them? How do you lay that trip on a kid? So they got to go through life living, sinning, to someday hoping they wake up and go, wow, my sin is that bad. That's why the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, and your sins, which aren't that bad, are not. You see what he was telling them? You don't recognize your own sin, therefore you're not forgiven of your sin. So what would you rather be? A sinner saved by grace, or somebody who says they don't need any grace? And how do you find a balance there, guys? How do you find a balance as a husband, as a wife, as a father? How do you find the balance there? We're all broken. We're all broken, sitting outside the temple lame, waiting for God to heal us, and hoping that in that healing, there's some fixing that occurs. Because how do you put two people in a house and say, make it? You know, the world came up with a compound word for the reason for their divorces. Irreconcilable differences. How many of you guys have been divorced and the reason at the bottom of the paper says irreconcilable differences? How sad. And his blood made no irreconcilable differences. He erased irreconcilable differences. Verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Everybody saw you begging. You're a beggar. You're a criminal. You're a thief. You're a whore. You're a liar. You're a tramp. You're a fill in your label. What are you doing here? Don't you think I know what you did? You're going to sit here with your hands raised in church, sing? How dare you? Invite people to church. You know what they say sometimes? Oh, you don't want me in there, man. I'll get out. I'll turn the fire as soon as I walk in that place. You will, huh? Oh, you must have been bad. Oh, man, you don't know. You ever get that? You don't know. Yeah, you're right. People over here don't know. People over here don't know. People over here don't know. No, nobody knows. All of us here, we don't know. How do you reconcile this? I stumble so badly with this, guys. I just confess to you. I struggle so much with this. This guy was just sitting outside begging, minding his own business. There I was. There you were, minding your own business. Life sucked, but it was fine. It was the only thing I knew. That somebody had to stroll into my shop and start telling me about the Lord. Listen, I had things going the way I wanted them to. No, you were actually miserable. Yeah, but that was okay. I was happy in my misery. I was numb, foolish, and ignorant, blissfully. The one place I hate brokenness is in here. Why can't we all just agree to be worshiping broken idiots together and just no judgment in here? Why can't we just agree to that? Why can't we just find this place as total grace? Total grace. Just come here and worship. Now, as the lame man who walked was healed, held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Man, what a fool! Why is Peter so stupid? Doesn't he know he could, man, package this thing. Sell it. Tell him about your church that's a few blocks away. Man, you just healed somebody. Take some credit. Oh, that's right. Because Peter understood it had nothing to do with him. What a model idea. What an amazing idea. Somebody should have told Benny Hinn, Robert Tilton. Somebody should have told Creflo Dollar that you cannot make a snowball out of the Holy Spirit and throw them at somebody and heal them. That you can't take your jacket and wave it in the air and blow the Holy Spirit wind on people.
The jacket of smite.
Am I offending anybody here? Oh, I'm not sorry. Why are you looking at us as though by our power or godliness we made this man walk? This healing is available to all the lame. Come on. All the broken, come on. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Well, that is a horrible thing to say to somebody. Don't you know you won't get nobody in your church preaching like that, Peter? I was about to go to your church after the healing thing, but if you're telling people they did something wrong, that's it. I'm out of here. Don't you know you're not going to get any friends like that? Telling them they're a sinner? You have to be nice and make them comfortable and have lots of coffee machines. Verse 15 is like so sweet to me. I don't know about the first part, but the second part. And killed the Prince of Life. What a name. The Prince of Life. I've wept like two or three times this week reading this. The Prince of Life. He's the Prince of Life. That word for prince, you can circle that, and right next to it, origin. The actual meaning of that in the Greek and the Latin is origin. He's not just the Prince of Life as in like, here's the king, here's the... He is the origin of life. He made life. You killed him who made life, he told them. But the last part's even better. Whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now again, remember we talked about the difference here. And this is extremely important. And there is this dispensational, you big fancy, you Bible scholars know what I'm talking about, this dispensational thing that happens here. The power of the apostles is granted to others. The apostles were some of the only who could say, it's not this man's faith that made him well, it's the faith that they had to make this man well, to make him a witness, which we don't have, by the way. Now, that doesn't mean I wouldn't try, but it's far better that you should enter heaven with one foot or one hand than to go into hell with two. And why is that applicable here is because of this. Christians now, after the age of the apostles, they come in all messed up shapes and sizes. They stay broken. Why would God be so unequitable? In this day and age, so spoken of is the privilege of people. That's your privilege. Big on college campuses. Well, Christian, you have no privilege. All you have is salvation. And when you come to the Lord, he grants you salvation, but he might not set you free from everything. And you must rely upon his grace. And you might be broken for the rest of your life, even though you are set free. Is this starting to make any sense at all? Is anybody wrapping their head around this or not? Anybody have a question about understanding this? Because I don't want you to go away confused, but I do want you to understand. The age of the apostles was granted to such as these men that they could heal by their given power of God. But after that, it is now faith in Christ that saves you, that makes you whole. Have you not struggled yet with this? Why do I keep doing this? Listen, here's where you take it into your heart. I have some sins in my life. I hate them. I get so mad sometimes. I'm so filled with rage. And I have done, and when I say I've done, I mean I have done everything. I have all kinds of little tricks, and first I shut down, then I got all these things that I do to battle this rage that lives inside of me. And sometimes I just go for a walk and I go, I don't get it. When are you taking this from me? What is not been revealed to you? What have I not given you? What have I not done? Why is this still here? And I rage at God. And God says, my grace is sufficient. For in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. I say, but God, I'm so tired of your grace some days. I don't want your grace. I want your strength. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has placed in his own authority. You're just a broken person. And I've chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I've chosen the weak things of this world. Have you not had this happen yet? Now, does this not make sense? I don't. This guy gets healed physically. And he's holding on to Peter and John walking in the temple. And everybody's like, oh, look, that's the guy that healed. And Peter and John say, don't look at us. It ain't us that did it. It's God. And this guy. Yet now, brethren, verse 17, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. One of the things this scripture is saying here is, number one, Jesus is coming back. Even though at the time of the writing of this, at the time of the description of this, he had just left, he's saying he is going to come and bring us a time of refreshing and a time of restoration. Does anybody know that verse in Romans chapter 8? He says that all creation groans awaiting redemption. All of creation. I want you to imagine in heaven, let's not even imagine heaven, earth. The millennial reign is coming. If you don't know what the millennial reign is, talk to me afterward, I'll give you a book. The millennial reign is coming where the earth is going to be restored before the fall of man. And you will communicate with the animals. There'll be no mosquitoes. In heaven, mosquitoes don't suck your blood. The bear and the little boy will play. The lion and the little lamb. And one of my favorites is the boy that plays with the snakes. Little adders, the little venomous snakes aren't venomous in heaven, on earth, when Eden is restored. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent to him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Please give me your attention. Here's where we finish. Old Testament writings, every single page points to Christ. If you've not been a student of the Old Testament, if you don't get it, if you don't understand it, that's because you're not looking for it. Here, Peter said, by the voice, also quoting Samuel, also quoting Moses, also quoting all of the prophets, saying, everything points to him. Everything. What an amazing promise. Did you get curious yet? I mean, just for your little studies at home or whatever, he just quoted from Deuteronomy. He just quoted from Genesis. He just quoted from the Psalms. He just quoted these things saying this is what he was referring to. I did a lot today. I know I've heaped a lot on your brain. Close your Bible. Remember how we started? We have this church. And people come in here broken. And you might be one of them. Or you might have one of them. Or you might have to deal with some of them. You might have made one of them, and that's your brokenness. You know how many times I preach about raising kids and what the Bible says, and you know what I hear all the time from parents? They come to me all upset and they go, but it's too late. I raised my kid. I've already messed them up. They're already out of the house and messed up. What do I do now? How do I fix it now? You don't fix it now. God fixes it now. God's sovereign hands upon you. That's why you're here. Prayer covers all, everything. You can't live in regret. You can't worry about what was. You can only do what is. God covers it. That don't make me feel any better. Okay? I'm gonna keep living in your brokenness. How's that working for you? I'm sorry, not everything is a comfort today. We're broken, saved by the grace of God. If you've never heard this, grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. You got it? You looked up to the left like you were thinking on it. No. The one in the middle. God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay. I don't have anything else to say. I'm kind of out of words. Give each other a break. Appreciate what you got. There's so much more to come. Amen to that? Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Truly, you are the Prince of Life. We thank you that your word has set us free from all kinds of wickedness. Please, Lord Jesus, fix your broken children. Confused on why you've chosen us, and sometimes mad that you allowed to happen what did, so help us to figure out the plan that you have for our life, and to walk in the freedoms and to continue to strive against this sin. We want to fight against sin until it's out of our lives, God. Help us to understand. Holy Spirit, fall upon us again and teach us the things that you want us to know, that we might live a life worthy of the praises of God. We love you and need you and pray in Christ's name, our Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.